Drex on KGO 810.
And away we go on the Drex Radio Show. As a reminder, if you have a five-year-old with you, or a six, or a seven, or an eight, or a nine, or a 10-year-old, you might want to obey the traffic lights, because your five-year-old might call 911 and report you.
911 is not Dakota. What's your emergency?
Daddy went past a red light.
Yeah?
My daddy went past a red light. He has a black truck, and it was in the brand new car, my mommy's car.
Yeah.
And then,
and what happened?
I'm being honest.
And he had to go to the car wash, and then he went past the red light.
He did?
Mm-hmm.
Is he home right now?
Yeah.
Can I talk to him?
Yeah. Somebody just called.
They just called.
Okay. Hello? Hi, Quincy Police.
Oh, no. I'm just going to apologize. That's my five-year-old son.
Just want to let us know you ran a red light.
Oh, no. I apologize.
No problem. As long as everything's all set.
Yeah, no, we're good. Thank you.
All right. Have a good night.
Very good.
All right.
Very lucky I don't have a five-year-old. And you know what? I'm so annoyed with viral videos, especially with people who have their molars removed with the kids, where they set them up. They have the oral surgery.
The kids are like,
yeah,
totally,
and they're high,
tanked.
Right?
Yeah.
They're tanked, and the parents. It all seems set up and phony. But I like that one because it seemed real. I think it is. I mean, you can tell by the kid.
The kid has no guile.
Dad, they called.
I pushed 911 and then they called.
And then they called, yeah. It just kind of happened like that. That's the way it happens. All right. The other thing I wanted to play for you right off the bat is this tennis player named Robin Haas, who lost a point in a match the other day. I think the French Open's going on, or it's over. I'm not sure. But anyway, all because he made fun of his opponent's grunting. The opponent was Gonzalo Lama, who grunts really loudly on basically every shot, which I find incredibly annoying. So in the middle of the point, Haas got sick of all of this grunting, and so he grunted as loud as he could, and then he got called on it. The umpire called him out for the hindrance. Take a listen. Here comes the umpire. No. Well, you can hear it, but hindrance. No.
You may not go.
I can't watch it. I mean, Sharapova, love her. Serena, love her. But this is them playing.
It is, of course.
And there's not an orgasm to be had. You would think somebody would be having one. This goes on for hours at my house. This
and
is why I hide in my room. Oh, my God. Sharon, are you listening? Hi, honey. This is why Daddy doesn't sit out in the living room with you.
I can't believe
they allow it. I know if you're a tennis pro, you're screaming at your radio right now. I know that you are. I can feel it. But I just don't think it's necessary.
You know how they had that app where you could actually get the vuvuzelas or whatever it was in the World Cup?
Yeah,
negate that actual, I don't know what it is, decibel or something?
Valuzas, yes.
Okay. Well, they need to do with the tennis grunts. And squeaky sneakers in basketball games.
Sure. Well, that's because the sneakers are all brand new. That's one of those things. But there's a hack to that. I'll have to look that up.
There's gotta be an app. We've got
but there's a hack to the shoe thing.
There is?
Yeah, I forget what the hell it is. Oh, there's a hack to this mess. Okay. Well, I guess if you're Sharapova or you're Serena, you can do whatever you want, apparently so. All right. So coming up, we will be talking about the discussions of the day. The Prince, the medical examiner says fentanyl overdose caused his death. There's a lot of ramifications about this. It wasn't Percocet. And how did he get this? Because it's 50 times more powerful than heroin. How'd that happen? Who wrote the prescription? Where was he getting it from? Can you get it from the Walgreens that you visited four times the week before you passed? Well, no. We shall discuss. And then, in Minnesota, they have this law. They only release the cause and the manner of death. So there is no toxicology. There will be no autopsy report. What you just heard me say to you is pretty much what you get. And we'll add to that with Allison Triesel, our criminal defense attorney from L.A. coming up. And then Johnny Depp, what is going on with that? She has that. And then this story, he got high and killed his wife. Lawsuit claims edible marijuana is to blame. Why is this a big deal? Because here we go. Kirk's children have filed the nation's first wrongful death lawsuit against recreational marijuana, claiming that their father ate a pot-laced Karma Candy orange ginger Tootsie Roll-like chew that triggered this April 14th, 2014 shooting in Colorado. Here it comes. So, that's going to be an issue. All right, let's talk about a few fun things. Do you want to know about the secret drink at Starbucks? I know. Starbucks recently added the drink is called the Strawberry Acai. A-C-A-I, Acai. Look at that. Nice. Refresher to their menu. It's basically strawberry juice, and it didn't make a particularly big impact until now. That's why, I'll tell you why in a second. Some barista figured out if you mix it with coconut milk instead of water and add pieces of strawberry, that it's strawberries, it's fantastic. And it became an unofficial secret menu item. So you only get it if you ask for the pink drink. Well, the internet just found out about it, and I just announced it, but I don't know how secret it is, but you will not find it on the menu.
So if I go to Starbucks and I ask for the pink drink.
I want the pink drink. You'll get that.
It won't be Pepto-Bismol.
Well.
I hope not.
If you're backed up, then let me know. Some of this could take care of that.
Okay.
Good news for Uber. Everybody likes to lay on Uber. Ladies and gentlemen, and you fine folks at Uber and Lyft, I have some great news for you today. We're not whining this time. We're not going to piss and moan about your surge pricing and all of that stuff. The incredibly convenient service you can use right from your phone, that didn't used to be there 2 years ago. A new study looked at the data from 150 cities here in America and compared fatal car crashes before and after Uber started, and the results are very impressive. Within 1 month of Uber being available, the average city saw fatal car crashes drop by 62%.
Wow, very good.
Yes, two-thirds. Yeah. Before Uber, there were 8 fatal crashes for every 200,000 people. After Uber, it was down to 3. And fatal crashes involving drunk drivers in the average city dropped 75% within a month of Uber being available. That is amazing.
That is. And I think one of the smart things about marketing Uber with that name is you can totally say that drunk. Uber.
Well, and the app's damn easy to
use,
too.
I'm about to Uber. Dude. Uber.
Uber.
It is so close.
Just do that out the window or they charge you a $200 cleanup fee. You know what I'm saying? The researchers say it shows that choosing to take Uber instead of driving when they're drunk, tired, or really don't belong on the road or for whatever reason is actually working. The study also found that 18 fewer people get arrested for DUIs within a month that Uber became available. So just think about what the numbers are now. It makes perfect sense. No offense to you cab people. Love you very much, but this is a very difficult cab town. It's hard to find a cab here. I think it's hilly, so you can't see them for one thing. Okay, but Uber, we know that Uber is everywhere. I can see it on my phone, and why would I take the chance? See, I think before people would take the chance. They're like, you know what? I'm not going to stand out here for an hour and look for a cab. I can make it. I'm going home.
Right.
Now you can see where the Uber car is on your smartphone.
You punch it in.
Right. And there you go. So congratulations. Some good news for Uber. Uber love. Uber duber love for you tonight. Yes. It's orgasmic. Well, it's something like that. All right. Speaking of orgasmic, here's Lee Graham with traffic.
Generation of KGO 810. Now, back to the Drex Radio Show. Drex Radio Show. I never meant to call you when you followed. I never meant to call you when you came.
Well, it's been about 7 weeks since Prince passed away. Allison Triesel, a criminal defense attorney, and her website, Wild About Trial, is on the line with me. And once again, Allison, it's a sad day because today the medical examiner stated what the cause of death was, and it's fentanyl, which is an opiate, and this opiate is actually 50 times more powerful than heroin. How did he get his hands on that?
Yeah, hi, Drex. Nice. Thank you for having me on. And it is a sad day. It's not shocking, and I think most of us knew that it was going to go there. But again, this is a situation where you have one of the most talented people of all time lose their life unnecessarily over drugs. And the question is, obviously, and there will be a criminal investigation of whether he got this legally through a doctor. The toxicology report listed his cause of death as fentanyl toxicity, and it was a self-administered accidental overdose.
Well, now, one second. Isn't fentanyl transdermal with the patch?
Right. And someone did come forward who claims to have been Prince's prior drug dealer, who said that Prince would buy patches, this would be illegally, in 6 month increments to the tune of $40,000. We don't know if that's true or not, and we do not know whether his doctor, the doctor that had treated him and had seen him several times before his death, including the day before,
Dr. Schulenberg.
Whether he was the one to prescribe the fentanyl. We do know that there were prescriptions also for Xanax, Percocet, which, if taken with fentanyl, is a absolute lethal cocktail. And so there will be a thorough investigation on how he got this drug, if it was a doctor who prescribed it to him. And if it was truly because he had this hip pain, fentanyl would not be an appropriate drug to give him.
No, it would not be. And by the way, so these are for severe conditions, people who are dying, people who have cancer, people who are in hospice, those sort of bad things. So to keep it going for an extended period of time, I have a hard time believing any legitimate doctor would keep prescribing that. Or prescribe it, period.
You know, we have seen this, unfortunately, too many times before, and that is that celebrities get away with so much, much to their detriment. So a doctor, and I don't know if this is the case yet, and we will certainly find out, but a doctor who is normally a law-abiding physician that takes an oath to save lives gets swept away in the celebrity and gives the celebrity anything that they want, and it can cause their death. So
I did hear a rumor that I did hear a rumor that he was close to this doctor, right? Is that, do I have that right?
I have heard that, but I don't know if they had a close personal relationship. Well, I don't know that. And again, We will learn. We don't know yet if it was this doctor that prescribed it to him. There is somebody who came out and said that since Purple Rain, Prince did go to drug dealers and would order these fentanyl patches for in a 6 month bundle to the tune of $40,000. I mean, and
well, that would be black market
be
for sure.
Hard.
Yeah, well, that's going to right. Correct. That those would be drug dealers.
And let me tell you about the criminal implications. So if it is a doctor, and in the state of Minnesota, it would be an involuntary manslaughter charge if they were acting recklessly and they were overprescribing the medication. And they would be looking at up to 10 years in prison, as opposed to a drug dealer who would be looking at a level 3 felony in Minnesota, and that carries with it a 20-year sentence. So, and I do believe that with investigations like this, it's only a matter of time till all this information comes out. I think that the California doctor and his son have probably dodged a bullet here because no other medication was found in his system. And the son is probably shielded under the Good Samaritan law.
For making the 911 call, right. Yes, he
that's
made them.
Correct.
And so
correct.
That synthetic drug to come down off of the opioid, which would have, we thought would have been Percocet, meant that he didn't give that to him.
It appears from the toxicology report that he never did administer that drug to him.
Okay.
So when he got there, although he possessed it, Prince was probably already deceased, and he called 911.
And that seems to be the understanding that he was found. I mean, wow, I know he was a small guy, petite, 112 pounds, 5'3" at the time of death, fully described, well, they discovered him fully dressed. So, yes, I suppose that may have been the case. One of the things that bothers me, I don't think Dr. Schulenburg, even if he would have written a prescription for fentanyl, TMZ reporting him back and forth to that Walgreens 4 times in 1 week, they would red flag that. I think Walgreens would have red flagged it.
Well, and again, much like the doctor scenario, the pharmacist who is routinely filling Prince's prescriptions at a much greater rate than these should ever be filled, which would indicate that Prince would be doctor shopping. He gets several doctors to write him prescriptions. They may, in fact, have some liability. If the pharmacist there is not asking questions, is not calling up his physicians and saying, are you aware that he's getting medication from one source, he's getting it from another? So there may be some criminal negligence there as well.
Okay. But I don't think with the, you know, it's my understanding only one doctor, Michael T. Schulenburg, his PD, and they were written under his legitimate name, Prince Rogers Nelson. Am I correct about that? And probably
right,
we have no
we
idea
know,
whether it's fentanyl or not. We don't know what they
right, and
we don't know what the
right, and that's
is.
Really the linchpin here is that because only the drug or drugs that were found in his system can you be prosecuted for. So if you were giving him something else, but it did not cause his death, there's no way that you are criminally liable.
Okay, so this is Drex asking a question off the top of my head. One of the things that popped into my head, Allison Treasel, today when I heard the story about fentanyl is that I don't think the doctor would give it to him. I don't think Walgreens would hand it over. Too many red flags. Perhaps he ran out of the fentanyl that he was getting illegally, perhaps allegedly. And if that happened, maybe he was looking to fulfill another prescription such as another opiate. Because he ran out. I don't know. I mean, just asking the question.
Yeah.
Don't
I mean,
know.
We don't know the answer. But the one thing that we definitely do know at this point is that he died from an overdose of fentanyl. And it was self-administered. The coroner found that it was accidental. And so now the missing pieces are, where did he get it? Was it a doctor that prescribed it? Was it a street drug dealer that gave it to him? And will there be criminal charges as a result?
Wow.
At the end of the day, unfortunately, we lost an icon over painkillers, which is unfortunately becoming a trend.
Yes, but fentanyl is over the top. And I wonder, did they state today, Allison, now whether this and this was transdermal or did he have a vial? Because in the hospital, they could use a vial and a needle.
So we don't know.
We don't know.
But we do not know. However, again, if you take the other reports that have been circulating today, and I'm not sure how much credibility this guy who claims to have been Prince's drug dealer for a number of years, he said that Prince custom and his kind of modus operandi would be to buy these fentanyl patches.
Oh, so we do know who the drug dealer is. Or they do. We don't.
He said that he hadn't given anything to him in many, many years. But way back when, that's what he would do.
Wow. Okay. All right. Yeah. That's the latest on that. Let's take a break. We have a lot to talk about with Allison Treasel. We'll discuss the Johnny Depp Amber Heard mess coming up next. And he got high and killed his wife. A lawsuit claims edible marijuana is to blame. First one, first case in the nation. Look out, kaboom. That's coming up on the Drex Radio Show on KGOA 10 with a look at traffic. Here's Lee Graham.
Drex on KGOA 10.
Wish I was a Hollywood vampire. Well, maybe not. Things aren't working out so well with the members of the Hollywood vampires. Well, at least one of them, Johnny Depp. Partying overseas like a dude with no concerns, such as a divorce from Amber Heard or domestic violence allegations. In Denmark, he was drinking it up with the bar staff until 4 a.m. You know, a lot of allegations going on about drinking and drugs. And you're in Los Angeles. Allison, what is going on? Allison Treasel, Wild About Trial. What's going on with Amber Heard and Johnny Depp?
Well, this is a big, big mess.
It is a hot mess.
Yeah, it's a hot mess. So the last 2 weeks of Johnny Depp's life have truly been action-packed off of the silver screen.
Yeah, that was a disaster.
His mom passes away.
Sad.
Amber Heard, they've been married for 15 months with no prenup, files for divorce. Then several days later, she asked for a restraining order, claiming that he had assaulted her, and shows these pictures of her face, which appears to be bruised. Police had been called out that Saturday to their apartment in downtown Los Angeles, and she declined medical attention, and she did tell the police, or the police are reporting, that she did not ask for a criminal prosecution, but in her moving papers to the court where she asked for a restraining order, she said that he had assaulted her. She is asking for spousal support. The judge denied that request, and basically it was believed that that was better suited for a family law court setting. She asked for a stay away, that she remain in their Los Angeles home. And he has vehemently denied any allegations of abuse. She talked about drug use and alcohol abuse. And it's a big mess.
Then you have Johnny Depp's assistant, Stephen Deuters, telling TMZ the texts that were posted in which he allegedly apologized to Amber Heard for Johnny's violent behavior are heavily doctored. So, what? He's going to have to answer in front of a judge under oath about that situation.
Let me tell you some interesting legal issues here. So, California is a community property state. Johnny Depp supposedly made between $20 and $30 million in the year that they were married.
Wow.
With no prenup, she is entitled to the earnings during their marriage, to half of their earnings. So here, Johnny Depp dates this model for 18 years, never gets married to her, marries this young lady for 15 months, and she may walk away with $10 to $15 million of community property money. in addition to spousal support. Now, the spousal support will be limited to approximately half the length of their marriage, but he is going to be paying her a lot of money.
Okay, but it's only based on those 15 months, right? I mean, the fact that this dude might be worth hundreds of millions. Yeah, okay. Yep. And by the way, People Magazine yesterday said supposedly this incident with the bruised eye and that picture, that was from December. I don't know. I mean, and of course, he says it's all...
they're going to have to prove up.
Right.
There's certainly...
There's so much conjecture.
I mean, he has one of, if not the best, divorce attorneys in all of California, and they're not going to take this lightly. They're going to fight, and they're really going to have to, she's going to have to prove up that he was actually abusive to her. But it will not affect the divorce settlement because California is a no-fault state, and it's a community property state. So whatever money he made during the length of their marriage, unlike the rest of us, I mean, you know, Johnny Depp is capable of making $20, $30 million in a year.
Yeah. Well, the movie, Alice looking through the whatever glass, that wasn't exactly The Force Awakens. So I don't know how much she's going to get out of that. That was a disaster. Shall we talk about, let's talk about this other topic that you brought up. So this, now we're going to go to Colorado.
This is the case of the day.
Let's talk about it.
The one to follow.
Okay.
So here's the backstory. A man in Colorado has a edible marijuana shaped like a gummy bear. He eats it and has some sort of psychotic break. He's hallucinating. His wife calls 911 and says that my husband ate this edible. He has essentially lost his mind. He's asking me to shoot him. Their three minor children are in the home. And instead of her shooting him, he takes the gun and he shoots and kills her. So he is in custody, charged with first degree murder. And her family, or the guardians for the children, have filed the first of its kind wrongful death lawsuit against the edible manufacturers and the store, claiming that it was improperly labeled, that they did not discuss the recommended dosage. They did not talk about the possible side effects or the consequences. Colorado, by the way, has since changed that and required that these edible companies produce that information, but they didn't have it at the time. So why is this an important case? Well, this is the first time that this legalization of marijuana, or the medical marijuana,
recreational. This is recreational.
So, but in terms of being challenged,
right? Okay, yes.
So, if you're going to distribute marijuana freely, you have got to label it appropriately.
I totally agree with you.
You know,
yes.
And this is a suit that actually has some legs to it, because the potency of the marijuana involved in this case, according to some experts, is there was enough marijuana in that small piece of candy to get 10 people high.
Oh, my God. Wow. That's a disaster. You know, this is a big problem. And anybody who has had any experience with edibles, they always tell you to start very, very slowly so that you can discover what the proper amount for you is. But how do you know what that is? I mean, I think that this is a problem here in California. I'm going to take calls on this, 415-808-0810. You know, we're just doing medicinal. And they do tell you, they give you this warning. But I've talked to plenty of people who use edibles, and they tell me all the time, yeah, they'll bring it up, but I don't see it labeled, or it might be labeled, but I don't really understand. I just had to figure it out myself. And then, God forbid, something like this happens, then you know, the dispensary is, they can be held liable.
Right, but now we are asking the public to become their own personal chemist and to through trial and error, figure out what the appropriate dosage is. That's scary stuff. And I think it's something that we really need to be considering as we discuss legalization of marijuana. I the whole idea of edibles to look like a children's candy is
bad news.
Dangerous.
Yeah, it's bad news. Can I hold you for another segment? I got to do a quick break because I want to talk about the scheduling of marijuana being number one and moving it to number two. Can we hold on a second here? Allison Treasel. Allison Treasel, a criminal defense attorney in Los Angeles, and her website is Wild About Trial. When we come back, we're going to discuss, and Allison, I'm sure, will have something to say about this. Everybody wants it removed from Schedule 1, but what are the implications of scheduling it at number 2? They're deep, they're heavy, and they could be severe. We'll find out. I'll tell you about it coming up next on the Drex Radio Show. First, with a look at traffic, here's Lee Graham.
KGO. Drex Radio Show. Drex Radio Show. On KGO 810.
All right, let's get right back to it. So we are chatting with Allison Treasel, criminal defense attorney from Los Angeles, and her website is Wild About Trial. All things trial are on there. Okay, so we're talking about landmark case here that's going on in Colorado. So basically, you know, this guy ate edibles. He had a family, 3 children and a wife, and he overdosed on the edibles, and he was going to shoot himself. Get the gun. I'm going to shoot myself. He was going crazy, trying to jump out of the first floor window, all of this. And then what happened is a shot rang out, and he killed his wife, and he was charged with first-degree murder. Now we have the potential culprit, the first one in the country. Kirk's children have filed the nation's first wrongful lawsuit against recreational marijuana, claiming the company that their father ate a pot-laced Karma candy orange ginger, a Tootsie Roll-like chew that triggered the shooting. All right, so Allison, and we have some people that want to talk about this. You said it's landmark. I agree. And the labeling thing is going to be a big situation. I'm not sure we have it right in California. Don't know. But one of the things I wanted to talk about was Schedule 1 versus Schedule 2. Because everybody here has this dream and fantasy about how fun it is when it drops to number 2. We have heroin number 1, LSD, marijuana, it doesn't belong there, MDMA, which is ecstasy, GHB, and psilocybin, all right, and peyote. So they're all on there as Schedule 1. What happens when it drops to number 2 is that then it's subject to FDA approval, and in comes Big Pharma. Am I right, Allison?
That is correct. That is correct. There
be careful what you wish
way
for.
More, be careful what you wish for is true. That is absolutely true. Here's the thing, is that most proponents of lowering it to a Schedule 2 want it deemed so because they say it does have medicinal purposes. And when you continuously label it as a Schedule 1, you're saying that it doesn't provide any medicinal value. And so for them, they see it very narrowly as a win if it's a Schedule 2, because now it has been recognized by the DEA that there is medicinal value in marijuana.
Right. But here's the ugly thought and Big Pharma. Okay. So when the FDA gets their hands on it, they begin testing, and that could take a decade. That could take 10 years. We don't have that kind of patience. You know, this is...
That's correct.
Right. We're in the 10-second attention span era of our lives. And it's one of these things. It's Pandora's box that we're opening, and let's take some calls on this. We will go to Humboldt County. Eddie, good evening. You're on KGO.
Hey, hello. All I want to say is I'm 70 years old. I've seen more maiming, violence, spikes under alcohol than I've ever seen under weed. And, you know, test case. How come we ain't outlawed alcohol? Because I see more drunks beat each other and maim each other with that.
Well, that's valid, yes. So, yes, comparing it to alcohol, that kind of makes you, you know, backtrack on your thinking, at least my thinking here, of Schedule 2. I'm just afraid of the Big Pharma and the FDA getting their hands on it. Your thoughts, Allison?
Yeah, and my thought about that is, you know, a lot of people I've represented over the years have said, look, you would much rather want someone who has gotten high behind the wheel than somebody who is drunk. And I understand that logic and that reasoning. However, you do have to isolate marijuana and say, is it more potent than it's ever been before? The answer is yes. Does it have, when it's taken, when you do not know the proper dosage, and I'm not advocating for or against legalization of marijuana. That is not for me to decide, but I want it done responsibly. I want it done, if you're going to legalize it, I want it to be very, very clear to consumers what they're getting, and so that things like this do not happen.
I 100% agree with you. And I asked the question, do you think that we're doing that correctly with medicinal marijuana in California right now? And my finger is making a big question mark because I'm not sure. Next we go to, let me see here,
Ali
in Oakland. Good evening. Thank you for calling.
Yes, good evening. I mean, the whole thing just has me just sick to my stomach, man, because I'm 66. I know a lot of black men whose lives were ruined for weed. Now, I've never smoked. I never will. To me, Malcolm X used to say, if you set something on fire and suck it into your lungs, you're crazy. So to me, I don't care how natural it is. Smoke doesn't belong in your lungs. But that being said, now that capitalism has found a way to make money, it's going to be just like liquor stores. Liquor stores are legal, but they don't help anybody.
Nope.
They destroy communities. But it's so woven into our culture. I know I'm in a, you know, extreme minority. We can get from prayer, from meditation, from walks in the park, what people try to get from substances. And a walk in the park, you're not going to crash your car. You're not going to have lung cancer. You know, we're a society that just wants to be high all the time, and it's crazy.
Well, it's escapism.
It harms
us. And I agree with you. God bless you.
And
thank
Allie,
you for calling.
You're not in the minority with the people that I talk to, because for them, you know, just saying, well, alcohol is legal, therefore marijuana should be too, really doesn't address the problem here, which is alcohol, when abused, is absolutely horrible, but so is marijuana. And for anybody to say that marijuana is not highly addictive, that's just rubbish.
I have to tell you, go ahead.
Well, I mean, if you've been around people, treatment centers, you do know that many people come there with a real dependency to marijuana.
All right. Okay. So you're saying it is a drug that leads to something else. And it's
it can be.
Yeah, a gateway drug. Okay. One of the things that I worry about the whole situation that's going on in California, it feels like the gold rush, okay, of the 1800s. I wasn't here. Maybe in another lifetime I was. I don't know. But it feels like that because everybody wants to get in on it. But yet, once again, I go back to this scheduling, too. If the government takes over and Merck and GlaxoSmithKline and all those other guys get their hands on it, or R.J. Reynolds, the tobacco companies, there's going to be a lot of people out of work and a lot of money lost.
I don't disagree with you, but I think that the problem is that the public really isn't being provided with the real facts here. I think that they see it as, look, there is great medicinal value to it. It is not real harmful. We should be able to tax even people that do not smoke, say, well, it can help our economy. We can tax people and then it will be more regulated. And as you said before, be careful what you wish for.
Yep, with scheduling number two. All right, Allison Treasel, thank you very much. Have a great rest of the week and a good weekend. And we'll talk, because the Johnny Depp thing is not going away, and neither is the Prince.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Okay, thank you. And once again, Allison Treasel, her website is Wild About Trial, criminal defense attorney from Los Angeles. Boy, there's a lot going on, and I have to tell you, I hope that Governor Newsom, I know that we're going to legalize it in November. I'm all for it. I'm about it. I just think we need to do it the right way. this story where this guy killed his wife because he didn't know what kind of edible he had is horrific. And it looks like a piece of candy. Just think what it can do to children. Okay, let's take a break. You're listening to the Drex Radio Show on KGO 810.